afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the fifth episode of the Terminally Nerdy Podcast, where you get to hear me ramble while I drive home. Today is, I want to say the 8th, is Tuesday on the week with the 12th. Yeah, it's the 8th. Yeah. I think. It's Tuesday the 8th. Look, I'm running on fumes right now, actually, so today on the podcast I'm going to be doing, of course, what have I been up to. I didn't do a podcast last week. There wasn't a lot I wanted to talk about this week, however, in addition to what have I been up to. I'm also going to go over the Wendy's tabletop role-playing game and that whole thing, and the recent Hearthstone drama where Blizzard has given a one-year ban to a Hong Kong Grandmaster player and the entire thing surrounding that whole mess. And that's pretty much it for today. And it's probably going to get a little ranty, a little angry. I apologize in advance if I curse a bit. But both of these particular topics are not happy things to me. So, also, if you hear anything in the background, it is raining. I am in Florida. Rain is a thing, and it's rainy season, so it's raining on my way home. Now, when I say I'm running on fumes, a little bit of backstory. So yesterday, Monday, I was not feeling well. I have stomach issues. I was homesick with my stomach. And right about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I suddenly noticed that we weren't getting any air from my AC, and the apartment was heating up. And in Florida, you kind of live and die by your AC, kind of like armor class in that regard. It's our air class. And having it not function for the third time in 6 months, seems to be every 2 months lately since the summer, I was getting kind of fed up. So I gave it a couple minutes, about 15 minutes, actually about 30. And right around 3:30, 3:45, I went to the front office and I reported, AC's not working again. You know, and this time, the coils were not frozen. So the last time this happened was about 2 months ago, right around August, and the coils, the actual coils in the central air had completely frozen solid. This happens most of the time because your Freon is low, which is the antifreeze, so it literally freezes up. The water gets too cold on the coils, water condenses, it makes ice. The only way to get rid of it is to literally just shut it off, and I took a dryer to it. At that time, they came out and put Freon in the machine. Well, 2 months later, all of a sudden it stops, so the first thing I check is for ice on the coils, which is what happened that time and the time before. No ice on the coils. In fact, the coils were dry. And I'm looking at this going, this seems a little different, because the last time this happened, it was because it couldn't pull air in, because the coils froze. So, about 5:15 in the evening, maintenance finally makes it to my apartment, and it's the maintenance supervisor, really nice guy. Every time I've had a problem and he shows up, it gets fixed. He figures it out, and he fixes it. Problem is they rotate the supervisors, so he hasn't been on site for like 6 months, and he just got back after my last problem. So he goes and he looks, and I explain to him, and he goes, huh, let me check outside real quick at something. I'm like, okay. And he goes outside. About 15 minutes later, he comes back and says, the air compressor in the outside portion of your unit blew. It doesn't work. And that's why nothing is cooling. And I go, oh. And he goes, and I have to replace it, and I don't have one, and I can't get one till tomorrow, being today, Tuesday. And I'm like, all right. Guess I'm going to have to sleep in the heat, which is exactly what I did. Let me tell you, Florida, at this time of year, inside my apartment with almost no airflow, because I live on a ground floor apartment, not in the best part of town, I am not opening windows, it's miserable. My apartment got to about 85, which doesn't sound that bad, but it was 85 with ridiculous humidity outside, and the AC unit was just pulling in hot air, but I have to keep it on to keep the air circulating, so I was essentially pulling in humid air, and I couldn't sleep worth a damn. I was basically up every 2 hours having to chug water. My wife was miserable. She's actually working from home now on her art and her comics, so she's actually a night owl. She's up when I'm sleeping. And then she sleeps while I'm at work. That way we have some time together between the two spots. and she's not, you know, wasting time effectively. So she had to go to sleep this morning in this heat, and I woke up in the morning, it was almost 90 in my apartment, so it was like, holy shit. And she sent me a message right around 1 o'clock, because she woke up because the apartment was freezing. And between her going to bed, me getting to work, and her waking up, I actually looked up what an air compressor for an AC unit does. So what the compressor does, it doesn't move like antifreeze. What it does is whatever coolant they use in the outside portion of the system, the compressor actually charges that coolant, converting it from a liquid to a gas, and then moves the coolant through the entire system, which cools the air, and thus you end up with cold air. You pull in hot air, and this compressor basically mixes that air with the cooling effects from its now compressed coolant, and that's how you get cold. And when you don't have a working compressor or the compressor is dying, the coils on the internal system can freeze, like mine did twice, and you will actually have problems cooling your apartment or your house, so that way you have to actually have the AC set even lower than normal just to get the temperature down, which I had to do. About 6 months ago, I noticed it wasn't cooling as effectively, and I actually had to move it even further to get it down to like 68, 70 degrees. And even then, my bedroom was still like 5 degrees hotter than the entire rest of the apartment, and it's entirely possible that all of these problems were the fucking compressor and the outside, and none of the other maintenance guys ever bothered to check, because my apartment hires extremely lazy maintenance people who do the minimum work necessary to get something functional. It drives me nuts. They will wait until the last minute to do something like this, because in their eyes, it's more cost-effective to, like, drag it out. Because I'm the one footing the bill. I'm the one with the higher electric bill, because my AC had to work harder to pump cold air. So hopefully with this, I'll see a drastic decrease in the cost of my cooling and everything. So that was yesterday. Now, between all this, of course, I'm working on stuff. I've started streaming Hatful Boyfriend. It was chosen by my patrons and my Twitch viewers. And that game surprised the shit out of me. So for those of you who don't know, Hatful Boyfriend is the pigeon dating simulator. It's a bird dating sim. You are a human girl going to a bird academy. And it's not explained at the start of the game why these pigeons are sentient. And they're not really all pigeons. There's doves and other birds. It does not explain why the birds are sentient. It doesn't explain why you're human and you're going here. And eventually you discover you live in a cave as a hunter-gatherer, and none of this is explained yet. And when I got it, and I started playing it, I was expecting something meme-y, lulzy, and what I'm getting is something way beyond that. Now, there are some memes, and there's some really insane things, like the very first route I did was the route where you date a bird named Okasan, who's this, I want to say he's a dove, I forget. But the picture they got for him fits, because the picture looks like a crazy person in bird form. And when you go his route, things get really weird and involve pudding. And then the second route I did, I can't remember the bird's name. It starts with an N, and he hangs out in the library. And I went from completely insane to really, really depressing in 2 runs. And originally I was just going to stream it the one night, because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get enough, you know, fun out of this. It's going to bore me. I'm going to have to stream this at least one more night, maybe two more, to try to get through the rest of the routes. Mainly because I want to see what the hell's going on, because as you beat the routes in this, it's a visual novel. As you beat the routes, you start to uncover things about the world. And it is not a happy place, and I do not know what is going on, and I really, really, really want to know what the hell is going on. And, yeah, that's a whole thing. Now, in addition to that, I got a hold of a copy of Breath of the Wild for my Switch, and I started fiddling with that. And I want to review it for the website, you know, my big written review, kind of like I did Xenoblade. But it's going to take me a while, and I can tell you why. You see, Breath of the Wild is what I like to refer to as a make-your-own-fun sort of game. It doesn't really have much of a story. There is a story, but right now, I mean, I'm like 4 hours into the game, and I already have the final quest of the game. Defeat the 4 guardian beasts, kill Ganon. You learn that within like an hour and a half, that is your objective. And everything else around the game is just sort of there. Theoretically speaking, if I was really, really good, like some of these speedrunners, I could beat Breath of the Wild in like an hour. At least the story portion of it. Everything else in Breath of the Wild is effectively optional. All the shrines, all the frickin' like Korok seeds, all of that stuff is entirely optional and outside the scope of the actual story. And so, in order to really get the most out of it, you have to spend time basically running around doing stuff just because you want to do it. And I'm very much a guided player. I like a story, or I like some sort of clear progression system, so it feels like what I'm doing is advancing something. And the shrines are about as close as I can get to that in Breath of the Wild. I can't get attached to weapons. They break. I can't get attached to shields or bows. They break. I can get attached to horses, but after riding a couple of horses, I'm not sold on the horse mechanics. So, yeah, I'm gonna play it, but it's one of those games where I'll play for like an hour or two, and then I want to put it down and just leave it alone, because I'm quite frankly just kind of good. So that's Breath of the Wild. Anything else? I did a bunch of videos. I think I've got like 5 indie impression videos queued up. I am gonna start doing them weekly, and I'm gonna start streaming those on Saturdays. So basically Saturday, I'll stream an indie game for like 3 hours, the one I'm gonna make a video on, and then I'll either make the video after the stream, or I'll make the video on Sunday morning. Because the video production portion takes about 2 hours, and I need to play the game for at least 2 hours, so 3 hours of streaming minimum. Boom. I've got my stuff. But beyond that, I started Vampire by Don't Nod again, and I finally just said fuck it and turned on Vampire on story mode. Because Vampire is a fascinating world with fascinating characters, and I hate the combat in that game. It can die in a fire. And when I do a video on that, or I write a review on that, one of the two, I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, I'm going to basically just trash that combat system because I hate it. It does not. People can play it. People have beaten it. People have beaten it on the hardest difficulty settings. But I can't get the hang of it, and you never feel like a vampire when you're playing it on normal. Unless you're just a complete asshole, so... Alright, have I been up to anything else? No, not really. I do have a vote running for my patrons, patreon.com/terminallynerdy, right now to pick a patron's choice indie game. So now my patrons of any level can vote every month. There's going to be 2 games head-to-head. They vote and pick one that I will do a stream and video on. And right now, the choices are Omen Sight and Battle Chasers Night War. And Omen Sight is in the lead. The vote's ending on Friday when this goes live. So, people, you're probably going to miss this unless you're already a patron. And if you are a patron, go vote. Just go through my post. You'll see it. It's the patron choice game. I've got like 6 votes on it, which is awesome. And almost all of them are Omen Sight. Guess people really want to see me play like a murder mystery with time travel. I'm curious. I like Spearhead games. I played Stories the Path of Destinies by them a long time ago, and I've been meaning to play Omen Sight, and this is the perfect chance for me to do it. So, but regardless, Battle Chasers might end up on another vote later. Everyone's doing cool in the traffic. Everyone's got their lights on. By the way, if you live in Florida, drive with your fucking lights on if it's raining. It's the law. Really irritates me when people in gray cars in a rainstorm don't have their lights on. It's like, oh, you just don't exist now. Alright, so that's that. Let's talk the Wendy's tabletop RPG. So, Wendy's made a tabletop RPG. If you were unaware of this, it happened last Thursday. It was announced at the same time it was announced and came out, and it's free, mind you. Critical Role announced that they were doing a sponsored stream with Sam Riegel as the DM inside of the Wendy's tabletop role-playing game. I want to make it clear, I do not begrudge them for running that game. okay, Critical Role did their thing, and for all intents and purposes, from what I understand, I read a live tweet thread that was a review of the stream. They basically mocked the entire game and system the entire time, and Sam used a lot of meat puns, which drove Matt crazy. Funny. However, it's very clear that Critical Role did not do their due diligence in researching Wendy's before accepting the sponsorship, as very, very quickly it came out that there were a couple of problematic things about Wendy's specifically. Those things being that Wendy's is, one, a Trump supporter, which, straight up, I don't like Trump. If you like Trump, that's great. I don't know why you would like that psychopath. I really don't get it. He's a jackass, and he's wrecking... Him and the Republican Party are wrecking everything. That's it for politics, but I don't like him. However, in addition to that, Wendy's is apparently the only fast food company that still gets a lot of their produce from farms in countries where slave and forced labor exist. And the funny thing with that one was, apparently, from what I understand, from the limited stuff I saw, like, the UN asked, like, all of the freaking fast food restaurants to not get their produce from these places anymore, and everybody but Wendy's was like, sure, we'll do that, and Wendy's basically went, fuck you, I'll do what I want. So, by accepting a sponsorship to play the Wendy's tabletop game, Critical Role accidentally essentially gave implicit support to this, because they're like, hey, we're supporting, you know, Wendy's paid us, and we're doing the sponsorship. And then it turns out that Wendy's is a giant raging tool. But I could have told you that. I worked for him when I was in high school. Wendy's is a shithole as a company. And from everything I've seen, they have not changed. They make good food. That's about it. And if you want to eat at Wendy's, it's just like if you're eating at Chick-fil-A. Be my fucking guest. I'm not, personally. So, eh. But it gets a little bit more problematic than that. So, first, we have the problem where a large-scale corporation saw something cool, tabletop role-playing, saw the renaissance of tabletop role-playing, and decided they wanted a piece of that fucking action. So they, using their large stacks of money, created a fully functional, playable role-playing game with extremely good layout, really good artwork, and custom fucking artwork, maps, the entire thing. And then they gave it out for free because they can afford to do that shit. And by doing this, they basically took a dump on all the indie guys out there who bust their ass trying to make something and can't get any traction. Because Wendy's was like, hey guys, we just put this together, here it is for free. And it was like it caught wildfire. It went everywhere. People were laughing about it. People were making fun. But it got Wendy's talking. Like, what Wendy's did is create a living advertisement. I mean, I'm talking about it. By talking about it, Wendy's has beaten me. But I want to talk about it because it pisses me off. And at first, I thought it was funny. Haha, Wendy's made a thing. That's kind of funny. And then I started reading reviews of it. And I started realizing, oh my god, this is literally corporate propaganda in game form. I have a similar problem with the KFC dating simulator. It's corporate propaganda in a game form. Corporations using... This is not the first time this has happened. Chex Quest is a thing. It's an old game that's all about checks. But the funny thing about Chex Quest is it's an actual game. Like, it's a Doom clone, and it's actually good and playable and weirdly fun, apparently. Like, people mod the shit out of that thing. And technically speaking, the Wendy's game is a playable RPG, but, I mean, we've got problems here. Like, the villain in the official adventure included is Ronald McDonald. But they don't call him that, of course. He is the Ice Clown Prince. And his home looks like a McDonald's restaurant complete with a ball pit. Yep. And your characters are knights who follow the Queen Wendy. Period. There's no variation there. You're just knights who follow Wendy. And you belong to one of these orders. And every one of these orders are built out to food. Like, you could be an Order of the Baconator. And then it gets even weirder in that they actually have rules in the game where if you're eating Wendy's food at the table, you get bonuses for the session, but if you're eating anything else, including snackies, you get penalized. Now, obviously, a DM can just throw those rules out, but the fact that they made these rules and built them into the system is just insane. Further, they make a ton of references to Wendy's. You roll 4d4 to generate your stats, because you roll 4 for 4, because they have a thing called the 4 for 4. It's literally corporate propaganda, and it's Wendy's basically pulling out their big marketing dick and just waving it around, going, look what I can fucking do, and look at the traction I can get. And it's caused division. It's caused problems. For example, there was an issue during the Critical Role stream where apparently some of the Critical Role fans were actually ranting about normies invading the chat because of this RPG, which is crazy. First of all, the normie term just irritates me, but nah. Like you don't want to... Like, yes, the Wendy's Tabletop RPG is very silly, but if it gets people interested in seeing what the hell D&D is about, fucking run with it. We need to use it to our advantage. We're stuck with it. It exists. People are talking about it. Let's flip it on its head. Yeah, you know, the Wendy's Tabletop RPG is a thing, but here are all these really cool games, like Tiny D6, or Mictim, or fucking, you know, any number of things. It's the same problem that keeps happening in general, where a lot of these indie guys work their asses off, make really awesome games, like all the Powered by the Apocalypse games, like Happiest Apocalypse on Earth, you know, Tiny D6, the Mictims, Savage Worlds to an extent. Like, there's all these littler, smaller companies that a behemoth like 5E just kind of sits on top of, and then Wendy's comes along and is like, yeah, we'll just sit on top of it too. What are you guys going to do about it? Because we, you know, an indie RPG guy like the person who made Zoander or Mictim or Tiny D6, like, they can't get people to talk about it. You know, there's a system called Capers that's really fun. Nobody talks about it. Everyone's just focused on 5th edition. It's one of the reasons I am incredibly frustrated with the tabletop gaming, like, community. Because you have 5th ed, and then everything else underneath it. And people don't care about the stuff underneath. They just want more 5th ed. And that's fine. Like what you like. But try to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, somebody was pointing out, like, instead of buying another set of cheap dice, why not support an indie creator? I'm all for that. Like, yeah, if you like your shiny math rocks, get your fucking shiny math rocks. Whatever. But, like, if you already have 20 sets of dice, and you use 2 of them, why not go buy a PDF from a guy who's working his ass off to make a living making a game that you will get hundreds of potential hours of entertainment for? Hmm? It's your money, do what you want with it, obviously, but try to, like, think a little bit outside the box. Same thing with giving time to the Wendy's tabletop game. If we're going to give time to it, we need to make it work for us. Because, I mean, it's a problematic company putting it out. Now, thankfully, Critical Role, day after all this happened, they came out and they're like, we're sorry. We didn't realize what the hell was going on. We're donating all the money that we got from the sponsorship to this farm workers charity. I am 100% okay with that. Some people are not happy about this because Critical Role shouldn't have done it in the first place. We're human. We make mistakes. Now, if the same mistake keeps happening, then there's a pattern of behavior. But this really isn't a pattern. This was, we took a sponsorship deal, we fucked up, we're fixing it. So there you go. You know, mistakes are made, let them fix it. If a pattern emerges, then you start getting a little, you know, sharpen the pitchforks, get a little angry. But I don't think Matt and company are into that sort of thing, and that they didn't do that intentionally. So there you go. Now that's all I want to say about the Wendy's Tabletop RPG and all of that shit. All right. Now about Hearthstone and Blizzard. So this came out today as I'm recording this. This is breaking news for me. So there is a Hong Kong Masters tournament for Hearthstone going on. And one of the players in the Masters tournament was given a post-game interview. And during the interview, he said, liberate Hong Kong. Now, if you were unaware, Hong Kong, as far as I can tell, is controlled by China. And Blizzard went really off the deep end for that one. What they did, after he said this, was ban him for a year from all official Blizzard Hearthstone tournaments. They also took all of his winnings from the Masters tournament, which was like $500,000. They just like, you're not getting any of it. You're zero now. And then, on top of that, they fired the two announcers who heard him say it, but did not actually, get him to say it. Like, they were just asking, as far as I know, the regular interview questions, and then he just busted out, liberate Hong Kong. So these two, who apparently hid under the desk when he did this, because they realized, oh God, they got fired, which I don't even know why, because they had nothing to do with this, and he got fined, banned, and he lost his seat in the thing. Thankfully, a lot of people are upset about this, because Blizzard just basically looked at China and said, I don't want to lose the money from that, so I'm going to fuck this guy over. Now, there's been an outpouring of support for that player. There's been an outpouring of support for the idea of liberating Hong Kong, which, yes, liberate Hong Kong. China does not need to be just sitting on top of Hong Kong. China's big enough as it is. And a lot of the anger right now is stemming from the fact that China and a company called Tencent have their hands in a lot of game companies. They're part of Epic. They're part of Path of Exile. They're all over the place. Tencent, as a company, is basically a shadow-run corporation. They are the official game company of the government of China. And a lot of the game companies here in the States and elsewhere, trying to get into China is a big deal, because China is a closed community. So, you know, China is very heavily controlled by the government. They're communists. So, if you get a game in there, you have to modify it. You can't have certain things. Like, there was, you know, the incident with, like, a Winnie the Pooh thing. If you mentioned Winnie the Pooh, and there was, like, you could get banned from a game in China, because apparently Winnie the Pooh had something to do with communist China. It's, like, some sort of icon, and they don't like it. It's very weird, the whole Winnie the Pooh thing. Like, I don't understand it. It's bizarre to me. But companies go out of their way to kowtow to China, because China has billions of people in it. Like, the U.S. in 2018 had, you know, like 3.8 million. That last count when I was checking this. In 2017, the last population count in China was 1.3 billion. 3 to 4 times what the U.S. had a year before. That's obscene. And because China only gets certain things, those things tend to become very popular. China also seems to have zero problem with microtransactions and spending a lot of money. Chinese players like to be the best. They like to dominate, and they will happily open their wallets and buy loot boxes and buy everything that they can monetize to achieve that goal. It is a gold mine for some of these companies. But China is very restrictive. China doesn't want people talking about liberating their colonies. So when Blizzard heard this guy at a tournament go, liberate Hong Kong, they were like, we have to make China happy. Bring the hammer down. Now you might be saying, well, can't he do something about that? Well, they have in their tournament rules extremely vague wording, which basically says if you say anything that they don't like that might cause trouble, doesn't even have to be political, it just has to be something that vaguely caused trouble or might look bad, you will be banned and you will have your winnings taken. They gave themselves very clearly in their rules a super vague but very clear line of rule that would allow them to do exactly what they did. So he has no legal recourse to fight them. They are completely in the legal right, because he would have had to have agreed to that tournament rule to even get in the tournament. What Blizzard has done, however, is set off a really nasty PR bomb. However, Blizzard is also massive, and Activision is behind them, and I'm not entirely certain it's going to make a difference. You know, it's more than just saying Blizzard did bad. there has to be a repercussion from us as people. But Blizzard is so large, and China is going to fund them so heavily, even if they lost all their Western player base, I don't know if it would make a difference. I really don't. Now, apparently, the subreddits for a lot of Blizzard games are getting, like, privated and shut down from some friends of mine that I was saw on a chat channel I was in. They're talking about how all these subreddits are getting shut down, privated, locked down to stop the, like, raging. Because people are mad about this, because China keeps sticking their hands into things and causing trouble. But a lot of companies, a lot of Western companies, are kowtowing to China, because China's full of money, and corporations exist, as Jim Sterling would say, to have all of the money, not just some of it, all of it. And you work in corporate America enough, and you'll see it. You'll see it exactly that is exactly what they do. So I'm not entirely surprised that Blizzard was like, yes, sir, China. Screw Hong Kong. Screw that. Let's close that down. So I am disappointed in Blizzard, but I've been disappointed in Blizzard for a while now. So, you know, whatever. I'm not going to be playing Blizzard games much anymore. You know, I don't play them now. And the announcements of some of the stuff that's coming in the new patch for WoW, which my wife was looking at, just doesn't interest me. You know, I don't want to give them any more money than they already have, so I'll stick to my indie games. So that was some heavy stuff there. Uh-oh. You guys might hear the siren, but maybe you won't. Someone's not having a very good day. There's a cop chasing somebody. Whoop-de-doo. But, yeah, I think that'll do it for the podcast today. As always, if you like what I'm doing and you want to support me, you can hit me up on ko-fi.com/terminallynerdy. Buy me what I call a heart container over there if you want. Visit me on patreon.com/terminallynerdy to get these podcasts and everything else I do the instant I finish them rather than having to wait, as well as voting in my Patreon's choice polls, a couple of discounts that I have through like TeePublic and stuff, and I'm working on some other stuff, just trying to make it a little more good value. Help me fund everything that I'm doing, equipment and time, you know, that has value. So there you go. Visit terminallynerdy.com for everything that I do. And oh, there's an ambulance. Yeah, someone's not having a good day. Nope. I wonder if they're going to the accident I passed. I saw a 3-car pileup. I didn't want to mention it because I was mid-rant, but everyone looked fine. Front into one of the cars that was caved in pretty good. Oh, no, that's not an ambulance. That's an emergency vehicle, a fire battalion. Man. So, yeah, thanks for listening as always. And, hey, treat each other kindly and stay nerdy, everybody. I'll talk to you next time.